Amen. How many of y'all worried about something this week? Be honest. You know what? I can say I don't think I did. Maybe I did, but I don't think I did. And you know, I got to tell you a quick little story as I'm getting going that's funny about this. So we're going to be taking a short vacation in a few weeks here during the week to Cape Cod, and got some family coming with us. So a couple of days ago, I paid for the vacation up front, and a few days ago, my family member gave me their money for their part of it, cash. So I put it in my wallet, in my pocket, and not in my wallet. If I was in my wallet, I'd still have it. Put it in my pocket, went home, put those shorts in the laundry. The next day, we had to do something. So I went, I got the money out the pocket. I had it in my hand. And then after it was in my hand, $300 in my hand, I have no idea where it went from that point. I cannot, for the life of me, remember where $300 went. I left the house, I went somewhere, and then I went to the bank, and I walked in, and I went, oh, man. And you know what? It's funny, church, like, if this was even a year ago, I'd have been so mad at myself. I'd have been like, oh, you were such an idiot. You know what? I just went, whatever, man. Whatever. You know what? If I need that money, it's going to come around. Can I get amen on that? And I just really thought about, I was really thankful to the Lord that he's done enough work. I mean, 300 bucks, I don't know about y'all, but that's a lot of money to me. Right? It's not like $5. You lost $5. I'm talking, you know what I mean? Like I can do a lot with 300 bucks. Right? But, you know, I can honestly say, I mean, I looked around for it. I backtracked. I went everywhere. I went, you know, trying to find it. But I wasn't like, you know what I mean? I wasn't freaking out. I got to find his money. Where's all my money? Where's all my... I just literally said, you know what? Some point, it'll pop up somewhere. Can I get amen on that? Worry. Little review from last Sunday. Worry. The word worry means to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts. Worry, to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts. Amen, church. So look at what the definition of the dictionary of the word worry is: not just something that I suffer from, but it can be something that I actually inflict on myself. Right? We hit this last Sunday, man. We're going to keep chipping away at this thing because I really feel the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm trying to get my church to stop worrying about stuff. Going to get amen on that. Especially money. Like I said last Sunday, right? What Jesus teaches us in Matthew 6, which is where we're going to go back to today, Jesus only talks about money. That's the only thing he tells us not to worry about. Paul and Peter tell us later, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious for nothing. But Jesus specifically points out what I'm eating and what I'm wearing, right? He's saying, look for a basic life provision. Don't worry about it, Jesus teaches us, right? Do not. It's a commandment, church. Can I get amen? So let's think about this. If I worry about what Jesus says not to worry about, it's a commandment, right? So if I violate a commandment of Jesus, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Let's all say it together. It's a bad thing, right? Just like if I violate commandments in the Old Testament, there are consequences to violating commandments of God, right? So if this is a command from Jesus, and then I worry about it, and I take a passive position. Oh, I just can't stop worrying about it. How many of y'all hear people say that? Oh, you understand? I just can't stop worrying about this. Yes, you can. Absolutely, you can. It might take some time. It might take some effort. It might take some counsel. It might take some. You might need to spend time with folks that have overcome whatever you're going through, whatever's going on. But there are steps to take where I can overcome anxiety. I can overcome worry. Can I get amen on that, church? Right? We can be free from worry. I'm not going to tear this down this week, but we're going to get there in the next couple of weeks. There is a difference between worry and responsibility. Right? So I own a home. I have cars. I have a few toys. The Lord has blessed me with the rest. So I have a responsibility to take care of those things. Right? If I just go home and sit on my couch all summer and never mow my grass, it's not going to just mow all by itself, right? I have responsibility to mow my grass. Yeah, if I have responsibility, if I get in my car and never change the oil and drive it 100,000 miles, it's going to blow up. right? I have a responsibility to maintain things that God has given me, right? It's called stewardship, right? I got to paint my house. I got to clean my house. I got to, right? That's why we don't have a dog anymore, because the dog, every time you turn around, you got to take the dog to the vet. Oh, look at this dog, only this dog. Look, I got this dog for free. No, you didn't. No, no, no. It came in your house for free. That's why we like cats. We're like, what's wrong with the cat? I'm like, I don't know. Just kick it outside. It'll be fine. Right? Amen. If you got a cat, you can go wait for a week. Just put a big giant bowl of food and a bowl of water and the thing will live. Right? I don't know why dogs can't make it. They're dumb. I don't know. Can I get amen on that, church? Right? But even so, right, if I had a dog and something happened to my dog, I'm not going to freak out about it. If something happened to my dog, I'm going to get it taken care of, and whatever's got to happen is going to happen. Is that right? Yeah? You know, it's funny. I've had things in my life. I've had things break down at home. I'm not the most handy guy in the world. But you know what? There's been times that literally, church, that I've got to do something, and it's like if I go to the garage with my car, it's going to cost me $1,000 or $1,500 or something. And I'll just sit there and say, okay, Lord, I don't want to spend that kind of money. And you know what? I can tell you honestly, church, there's been so many times when all of a sudden just a picture comes into my head, and I just know how to fix it. Now, maybe if I took it to the garage, somebody at the garage would go, what the heck is this? I'm like, I don't know, but it works, right? The car ain't breaking down anymore, right? It was leaking something. It's not leaking anymore. Maybe it ain't right, but it worked, right? Can I get it right, church? If anybody ever felt that way, right? You just don't know how to fix something, and all of a sudden, boom, you just get the answer, right? And you know what I've learned? I give God credit for that, right? Because I'm not that smart. I just say, God, you're helping me out. You're taking care of me, right? Like we would help out our kids if they had a problem. Amen? So, church, we have responsibilities, right? But we don't, we're commanded not to worry. See, I think in our culture we've combined, we've almost made like a badge of honor that if I worry about something, it's because I'm being responsible, right? I'm worried about this because I care about it. I'm worried about this because, you know, I got to make this work out. I got to, right? But what was the prophetic word over our brother here this morning? No, you don't. Now, if he just stops going to work, it's probably going to fall apart, right? He's got to do what he's responsible to do, right? But at the same time, he's got to start, all of us, we have to look at life and say, man, God wants me to succeed in this. God is not just like, you know, oh, you like we say to our spouse, okay, honey, got to go to work, see you later. I think we say that to God. Okay, God, got to go to work. See you when I get home. And he's like, I want to go to work with you, man. I want to help you out all day long. I want to show you this and show you this, give you wisdom, give you insight, give you things that will impress people that you work for. Amen. So, church, we actually have a responsibility before God not to be worried. Think about it, ever think about it that way? The responsibility that I have before God is not to worry. Right? God tells us, do not be worried. So let's go to Matthew 6, 24. We were right there. We're just going to read on down and finish up this morning Jesus' teaching in this section. Matthew 6, say amen when you're there. Got two of y'all. Matthew's right after Malachi. You guys all there? Matthew 6, 24. Jesus teaching us, picking up verse 24, says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot, everybody say cannot serve God and wealth. Okay, the Greek word here, church, is mammon. It's riches. Okay, and so sometimes we read wealth. I'm like, well, I ain't got no wealth. So I only got a G note in my savings account, so I'm not wealthy, right? That's not what he's talking about. Not American wealth. It's money, right? It's the pursuit of wealth, right? And let's face it. I probably would do this if I stopped getting paid for it. But that, you ever hear that? Like the way to be happy in a career is to find something you do for free and then figure out how to get paid doing it. I figured it out. I do this for free, right? Make money doing something else. But can I get amen on that, church, right? Most of us, if all of a sudden we went to work tomorrow morning and the boss says, hey, we need you to keep working, but we're not going to pay you anymore, we'd be like, bro, peace, deuces, right? We'd be out, man, right? Like, we're not going to, nobody's going to work for nothing, right? Why? Because church, what is it? It's wealth. It's mammon, right? We understand I do this for X number of hours, and then they give me something back, right? If they stop giving me it back, I'm going to stop doing it. Right? Am I being true up here? Yeah? So what Jesus is saying is, look, it, you cannot serve God and money. Not God and the devil. I said it last Sunday. He doesn't say you can't serve God and the devil. He says you can't serve God and money. Now, let's see what Jesus teaches us again. I'm just reviewing this, but it's so powerful. For this reason, verse 25, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Church, what Jesus Christ is teaching us here is that the way that he views man serving money is worry. Right? The statement is, no one can serve God and money. You cannot do it for this reason. Because you can't serve God and money, do not be worried about it. How many of you ever thought about when, if you get a big bill in the mail, right? We seriously have a huge electric bill. I shared it last Sunday, exaggerated slightly, but like, right, we got a real big electric bill right now. Somehow we were like paying it not enough for like months, and there's a big one, right? And so I even looked at that. I said, okay, whatever. I just got to pay it, right? Got to pay it. But you know, right? If we, Jesus teaches us, church, that when something happens to us that is outside of what we've calculated, that all of a sudden, you know, we're going along fine and man, the car breaks down, boom, and it's, we ain't got that money in the budget, or some, we got to go to the doctor and all of a sudden we got to get this test done, the insurance won't cover it, and now I've got this $1,000 medical bill, boom, all this stuff happens. You know what he's saying? If I worry about it, it's because I'm serving it. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, for this reason, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will wear. Do not worry about the money. Amen, church? Yeah? Verse 26, let's keep going. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Here we have the command again. Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first, everybody say first? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen. So I'm just going to teach for a few minutes here, just going to tear this down, do some teaching on it, and then we'll go home. Amen. Church, here's what it looks like in a very general practical sense. If we do not give biblically, the root of that just may be that we're worried about our financial well-being. I didn't look at nobody when I said that. All right. Now, there's other reasons that maybe we don't give biblically. So when I say biblically, I'm talking tithing, 10% plus something, offerings, alms, right? I'm not just talking about inside the church building either. Y'all, we were talking about it yesterday. We were hanging out with some folks. We're just talking about just running into people around town, right? And the Lord speaking to your heart and just saying, hey, go, just go bless this person. Or you don't even know who they are, right? You just meet them. And the Lord says, just, hey, just go give this person. I had a lady last year. I ran into her. I only seen her twice. She came to church here one time after that. But I ran into her, and she was telling me all this going on in her life. And the Holy Spirit said to me, go get in your car, drive down to your bank, get some money out, and come back and give this lady some money. And, you know, it's one of those times when you just know it's the Holy Ghost. You know what I'm saying, right? And you just, you know, if you don't do it, you know you're gonna kick yourself for weeks, right? And who knows what's going to happen with that lady or whatever it is. But can I get amen on that, church? I ain't just talking about tithing. I'm talking about all the biblical things about giving. Amen? I'm going to touch one more thing on tithing while we're at it. There's a thing I saw recently where people, there's a new movement in the church today where folks say, if I give of my time, I don't got to give any money. This is what I got to say about that.
That's all.
What a load of garbage. You know, some folks say, well, Pastor, I'm going to tithe my time. I'm going to tithe my time to the church. Really, bro, there's 168 hours in a week. I ain't seen most of y'all more than about 2.5 hours on Sunday. So we're 15 hours short. Where y'all at? I'm just trying to be funny, y'all, but this is what's going on in the church, right? There's 24 hours in a day. If you're going to tithe your time, that's 2.4 hours every day at the church, 7 days a week. Garbage. The Bible don't say tithe your time. It says tithe your money. It's crazy, man. Man, I said to someone the other day, like I was talking to us, I was holding my Bible up. I said, how do we all read the same book and we're so messed up? Man, I mean, there's some stuff in there that's a little weird, like wheels inside of wheels in Ezekiel or wherever that one is, you know. Or there's some weird stuff, but church, 90% of the Bible is straight up. Do this, don't do this, do this, don't do that. Can I get amen on that? We ain't got to interpret none of it. Just do what it says, man. Praise God. Awesome. Nobody's mad, right? If you are, that's too bad. You'll be all right. If we're worried that if I give 10% plus something, that's in Malachi 3, that I won't have enough left over for our other responsibilities. Right? I'm not saying it's the only cause, but it's certainly one of them. Verse 26, though, Jesus begins teaching, and I just want to break this down and look at what he's really saying here. He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Look at what Jesus is pointing out here, church. He's pointing out to us that the birds do not engage in any biblical principles of sowing and reaping. Birds don't care about none of that stuff, right? Birds just flitter around and chirp and tweet and whatever they do. You poop on your car. Man, you're right? Come on, man. For crying out loud. They don't poop my car until right after I wash it. It's nice and shiny. I go inside, get a drink, come out, and there's a big poop on the windshield. For real? That's a big bird. You see the size of that one? I don't even know what he ate. Come on, y'all. Right? But Jesus says, look, these birds do not engage in any type of principle of sowing. They're not sowing thinking, if I give God this, he's going to give me something back. They're just being birds. You know what? If that mommy bird flies up to the nest and sees all those little babies going like this, we need video for real, right? They're all, got their mouths open and they're like, wee, 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 and they're going crazy. That mommy bird doesn't open the fridge and go, oh no, out of worms. It just flies down to wherever the big pile or whatever and goes digging and gets some worms out and comes up and drops those little worm chunks in little birdie's mouth, right, church? They fly over to our bird feeders that we put outside and they don't worry about it. If they're hungry, they just go find something to eat, right? Jesus says, aren't you more valuable than the birds? If God will make sure that birds have enough to eat, why wouldn't he make sure that you do? Next verse, he says, who of you being worried can add a year to his life? I'm going to tell you something straight up, man. I'm learning this. I'm figuring it out by God's grace. Listen, church, worry is a thief and a robber. You heard that song? It's not brand new. It's new on the radio, but you know the one that says, fear is a liar. That song, right? It'll take your breath. It'll whatever the lyrics go, right? But church, worry and fear are like kissing cousins, man. Worry is not going to add nothing to you but more worry. I'm going to say that one more time. Worry is not going to add one thing to your life except more worry. How many of y'all got worried about something? Do you feel better? Or does it just keep getting worse? Right? It's like this spiral, like you're going down a drain. And you start, one scenario pops into your head. And then, oh gosh, that's really bad. But then another scenario that's even worse. And then a third scenario. And all of a sudden, we're like, we're fetal position in the corner, shaking. somebody walks in like, what's wrong with you? I'm so worried. What are you worried about? I don't even remember anymore. I'm just worried. Right? My little two-year-old, she gets angry, man, and she'll get going. And then after a while, right, what'd you ask little kids? Do you remember what you're mad about? No! Ah! I'm just mad. I don't even know what I'm mad about anymore. I'm just mad. What are you worried about? I don't even know. I'm just worried all the time. No, church, for real, though, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm a little bit. That was supposed to be funny. But for seriously, people that suffer under anxiety, if you ask them what's wrong, they'll tell you, I don't know. For real, right? People that have panic attacks and those things, you ask them, what's wrong? I don't know. I can't stop worrying. You're like, I don't know. That's weird to me. Like, anytime that I have been worried, I know what I'm worried about. It's right there. I can see it. Okay, I know that's coming. I could not imagine what it's like to be worried about nothing. But you know that there's actually a scripture in the Bible. I don't know why this is Holy Ghost right here, man. It's in Proverbs, and you know what it says? I'm going to paraphrase this slightly, but it says, it's differentiating the righteous and the wicked. You know what it says? That a wicked man will flee when no one pursues him. But the righteous are bold as a lion. I don't know. That's what the Bible says. Just saying, y'all. If I'm running, ain't nobody chasing me, I should probably look in the mirror and see what am I doing before the Lord. Because that's what the Bible says. If I'm righteous, if I'm in right standing with God, I'm bold as a lion. I ain't going to run away. I'm going to stand up. Yeah? That's a pretty good one. That's in Proverbs somewhere. You guys should look it up when you get home and see what's around it. Amen? Worry invites high blood pressure. It invites sleeplessness. It invites stress. It invites darkness. It invites confusion. It invites despair. It invites hopelessness. It invites feelings of abandonment. Amen? Worry ain't going to add years to your life. It's going to take years away. Could you imagine, church, just think about this. Could you imagine living through one whole day without worrying about anything? Just one day, man. One day. How about a week? How about a month? Imagine living a whole month and you don't worry about nothing. I'm not saying that something doesn't come that could produce worry, but that you have grown to a place where you recognize that thing and you grab onto it and you say, no, 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 no. I'm not going to let that thing rattle around inside my brain. I'm going to grab onto that thought. I'm going to put it over here. Okay, I need to be responsible for that thing. But I don't need to worry about it. Right, church? I will not worry about that. I'm not going to do it. The only way to live a life that is free of worry is to start with a day and decide in your spirit that you're not going to worry about it. You guys ever heard of Procrastinators Anonymous? Starts tomorrow. Yeah, man. It starts tomorrow. Well, Pastor, I'll stop worrying tomorrow. No, you won't. You just stop worrying today. Come on. How many times? see how blessed I am in the midsection right here? I'd say tomorrow I'm going to start eating better. That's been like a year and a half, y'all, and it ain't. I need to start today. When I go out to lunch today or go out to eat some lunch, I need to say, okay, man, let's just back away from the table. Back away. Right? Stop eating that. I got to talk to myself. Stop it. Stop eating that. Can I get an amen on that, church? Right? But you can't look it. If we always say, tomorrow I'm going to do this, tomorrow I'm going to do that. No, you won't. You won't because we don't. We're humans. We don't do stuff tomorrow. I got to do it today. The Bible says that Jesus, we're going to finish up looking at it. Do not worry about tomorrow. He says, don't think about what you're going to do tomorrow. Think about what you're going to do today. Do it today, right? I'll pray more tomorrow. No, you won't. Pray today. Amen? Next verse, Jesus goes on. He says, why are you worried about clothing? He says, the flowers, look at this, neither toil nor spin. God makes all these things around us so beautiful, right? I mean, if you go, we had a lot of our church folks go down to the Outer Banks for vacation, right? And they always put these pictures up of sunrises, right off the beach and all that stuff. And, everybody comes into New England in the next, about a month now. People start flocking to New England for all the foliage up in Vermont and New Hampshire, right? You go up there, it's just... It's crazy, man. Like all this beautiful stuff that God makes. And you know what? None of those things, all those trees, they don't go, okay, time to turn red. Oh, boop. They're just like, okay, I guess time to turn red. They just do it, right? They just do what they're made to do, right? You know what I'm saying? Nature was around us, done a work at being nature. It just is. It does what God created it to do. And I was reading through this the other day. This is really the thought that the Holy Spirit said to me. He says, son, the reason that God is taking care of those birds to what they're doing, because birds are just doing what birds do. Birds are doing what they were designed to do by God. The lilies of the field, the grass, the lilies, the lilies know not to grow in the winter because it's cold, man. They just know it hits a certain temperature and boop, they come out, right? Because they're doing what they were designed to do. God made them that way. So as I was thinking about this, the Holy Spirit said to me, son, your basic provision comes to you when you do what I created you to do. I did not create you to worry about it. I created you to be an ambassador of heaven. I created you to be a son of God. I created you to receive my likeness. I created you to walk in authority and power. I created you to walk in identity. I created you to impact the areas around you. I created you to walk as a son of God. And you know, church, I'm so convinced as I'm reading through this again that all the distractions get us to look at our bank accounts, look at the stock market, look at all this stuff. You know what it's really attacking? It's attacking our identity as sons of God, because we think, man, the Bible says as a son of God, I'm going to have abundance and I'm going to have this and I'm going to have that. But I look at my bank account, I don't see none of it. It's a trick of the devil, man. I'm not telling you don't balance your checkbook. Please do. Amen. Don't come back to next week and bounce a check and blame it on me. Amen, church. Can I write? Do you understand what I'm saying? But what I am saying is that sons, Jesus is saying, sons, don't get caught up in this stuff. My kids don't think twice about what they're going to eat. They just know, Dan, what's for dinner? I know I'm saying this a lot, church, but we see it in the natural, but then we get to the spiritual. We're like, yeah, but you don't understand. I'm 40 years old, and I've got all these kids. Church, I got like 9 of them for kind of a lot. I know what it is, man. The more kids I got, the less money I'm making. I don't figure that one out. Man, I don't have 9. Not yet. We're working on it. My wife's like, I'm going to kill you. You know, I saw this thing. We have a couple of jet skis, you know, like Sea-Doos, like that, right? So on one of the Sea-Doo pages last night, this guy puts up a picture of a pregnancy test. And he says, hey, this is a magic wand. It makes Sea-Doos disappear. And so I commented. I says, not mine's, bro. I said, man, I got 4 kids and we got 2 of them, man. You know, right? Is that funny? That's funny. But you see what I'm saying, church? Look at the less the Lord's saying to me, the less you care about, the less you get so nitty gritty about this stuff. And how am I going to make this work? And how am I going to make that work? God's saying, you know what? Yeah, either you can make it work or you can let me make it work. All right? You're like, Pastor, but I'm limited. I'm on this. No, you're only limited in your mind. I'll tell you what, we've got enough new folks here. I'll tell you another story. When I came on staff here at the church 10 years ago, I was in a sales job prior to that. Had a free truck, right? Truck that I drove around. The company gave me the truck, gas card. They paid for everything. I mean, it was great. Nice big Chevy Silverado, man. It was a nice truck. So then I quit that job to come on staff here. And all those years I was at that job, if I was a little smart, I was real young. When we're young, we're not very smart. I'm a little smarter now. But when I was young, if I thought for 1 second of someday I'm going to quit this job and not have a free truck anymore, I should have put like a couple quarters or something in the bank every week. Something, right? Eventually I'm going to have to buy a car again, probably. So I didn't do that for 10 years. So I came off staff at a church and had nothing, literally had no money at all. I managed to scrape together $1,000. And if you guys know, you can't buy much for $1,000, right? And I live 20 miles away. So I had to drive down. I was driving down, drive back and forth. I can't just have something that's going to break down every day, right? So this is what I said to God in my head. Never said it out loud. In my head, if I said it out loud, it would have sounded like this. I would have been looking up and going, you know what? $5,000 would really help out right now. Anybody ever have one of those prayers? Not like, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If thou willest, $5,000 would be most beneficial right now. No, it's like, hey, are you paying attention down here? Is one of those prayers. You guys ever had one of those? Yeah. So I never said it because I wasn't brave enough to actually say that out loud like that to God. But you know, church, so I literally said nothing, didn't say my wife, pastor, Al, nobody. And in 3 days, man, came to church and the guy comes up, walks over to me and he says, hey, man, I'm praying for you and God told me to give you $5,000. I was like, man, I should ask for 10. know, right? But you know what, church? It was this honest cry to God saying, you know what, I'm stepping out to ministry. I'm stepping out in faith here. And I ain't seen it line up, right? And you know what, church? I've had so many of those times when like, I just, man, there's a financial need or some kind of need, and I just go, man, I don't know where this is going to come from, right? I've had times when God's told me to give to a certain cause, and I look at my bank account, I'm like, there ain't enough money in there to give to that. Like, it's not in there. It doesn't exist. And so I've learned to say, okay, God, if that's how much you told me to give, then that means you're going to make a way for me to get that money extra that I need to give that money to that situation. Right? Let me just, little plug, side plug here. I went to a church a long time ago. I ain't going to say even what town it's in because I'm not trying to be mean, y'all. But I remember sitting there. I was like a teenager, right? And I remember sitting there, and they were trying to buy a building, this church. And the pastor stands up in front of the church, and he says, we're going to take up an offering for the building now. And this is what he said. I was like, oh, man. He says, because we already wrote a check for the deposit. We don't have enough money to cover the check. I worked at a bank at that time in my life. And I'm like, bro, that's a felony. You ever heard of kiting a check? K-I-T-I-N-G, kiting a check? That's what it's called. It's a felony. If you write a check out of your account and you know there's not enough money in there to cover it and you write it anyway, that's a felony. You go to prison for that. So I'm saying to this, I'm not even a Christian. This pastor's going, I'm like, man, I'm thinking, I hope the offering's good. Or you're going to prison, bro. Right? So please, church, I'm not saying to give money that you don't have. Right? But if you look at a situation, God's put something in your heart to do it, trust God for it. Right? If he tells you to do it, he's going to make a way for it to happen. Is that good? Does God care about flowers more than you? No. Thank you for saying that quickly. If he makes them grow and they do nothing except exist how they were designed, then maybe Jesus is trying to get us to understand that if we would embrace what we were designed for, those same basic provisions would come to us before we engage in any covenants. Do you see what I'm saying, church? I think we get so freaked out about, am I gonna pay my mortgage this month, right? Or whatever the financial need is. God's saying, look it, man. Do you know how easy it is for me to pay your mortgage? I'm trying to get you to look way beyond just making it. I want you to live this life that's abundant, right? I'm not turning into a prosperity preacher, church. Don't get freaked out here, all right? But for crying out loud, there's truth in that message, right? God wants to bless us, man. He wants us to live in abundance, man. Not just, I mean, money, joy, hope, power, peace. I mean, all we should be overflowing with all this kingdom stuff, man. The life comes at us and we just go, psh, we just brush it aside, man. You know, you ever seen The Matrix? Like at the end of The Matrix when Neo figures out who he is and he's beating the bad guy and he's just one hand. He's like yawning. Oh, he's fighting this guy with one hand. It's like a super ninja, right? The guy shoots the bullets and he's like, he's like dodging all these bullets, like, and it's like God's saying, look, that's what I'm trying to give you the ability to do in the spirit. We're like, it don't matter what the fiery darts are, the dart comes, you just go, whoop, oh, miss me again, ha ha ha, whoop, miss me again, ha ha ha. Right? I mean, it's like the devil, doesn't matter what the devil does, it doesn't affect you. Stuff comes at us, we don't go, oh no, what do I do now? We say, man, I know exactly what I'm gonna do with that one. I'm gonna hit that one head on, just like I hit the last one head on. Well, Pastor, how do I get around this? Just go through it, man. Just hit it head on. If God's with you, why not? Yeah? Almost done. Jesus concludes his teaching by commanding us. Everybody say commanding. Do not worry then about what you will eat or what you will wear. But then gives us another subtle but powerful warning of what worry is actually exposing in our hearts. Verse 32, he says, the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, right? So the word, church, for Gentile right here denotes, in a way, unbeliever. So, like, if you look at Paul's writings, later in Paul's writings, Paul will separate. One statement, it's in Colossians 2, he says that he's talking about himself and Peter and a couple other guys, but he says, look, we are Jews, not sinners like the Gentiles. Like, wait a second. I thought everybody's a sinner. Can I get amen, church? But you know what Paul's saying? He says, look, according to the flesh, I'm a Jew. I'm part of the inheritance in the flesh. I'm not like these people who are outsiders, right? I'm not a Gentile, right? I'm not this heathen, this barbarian, this, right? So what Gentiles means people that don't believe God. Amen. Right? The warning is do not worry about these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? Because the Gentiles seek all these things. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? How am I going to pay my bills, right? And so we get stuck in the rat race. We just, right? And man, we can't stand up to a boss anymore because, man, if I stand up to my boss, I'm going to get fired. You know, so now we work for folks and the boss shows up. The boss says, hey, can you take on this project? And we're thinking to ourselves, man, I've already got 600 projects going. I haven't finished a single one. But, you know, what are our responses? Sure, no problem. You know, because that guy's getting pressured from his boss to produce. Right? You know, church, there's teaching on the Sabbath day. I think I mentioned this several couple months back, but I read some teaching on Sabbath and why it's so important. And I've been working on trying to get a Sabbath rhythm in my life. Amen. Because I thought this guy's not a Jew, he's a Christian. But he's got Sabbath. Once a week takes a Sabbath. But this is what he says. In the Old Testament, it says that when God commands a Sabbath, he says, because you were slaves in Egypt, right? and I brought you out. And then there's a few verses, and he says, for 6 days you shall work, on the seventh day you shall rest, because you're slaves in Egypt. This is what he says. He says, you know what? If you're a slave, so what are we preaching on? What's this whole series? It's becoming sons, right? We're not slaves, we're sons, right? If you're a slave, your value is based on what you can produce, right? If you, as a slave, if you're not producing something, you're no longer valuable to your owner or your master. And so, right, and you will be beat, or you will be ostracized, or you'll be sold, or you'll be whatever. There's no value anymore because it's all based on what you can produce. And so this guy goes on to teach this, and he says, for 430 years, the Israelites lived in slavery. So their entire identity for 4.5 centuries almost was based on what they could produce, not on who they were. 7 days a week, they labored 7 days a week, church. Say it with me, 7 days a week. 7 days a week, they labored from dawn to dusk, right? When Moses shows up, says, let my people go, Pharaoh says, stop giving them straw. Make them get their straw, and don't lower the brick count, right? What's our culture like, church? Look at the last 10 years of our culture. What's going on? Give them less, make them work more. Make them work more. We ain't going to pay you no more money, but you need to put 10 more hours a week in now. What, 50 hours a week? Man, no, 50 hours a week's nice. How many people wish they only work 50 hours a week? Right? We got folks working 80, 90 hours a week. It's crazy, right? But we're getting sucked into this. It's an Egyptian culture, church, right? So when God says, you shall not work 7 days a week because you were slaves, you're no longer slaves. So now your identity is in who you are, not what you can do. So for one day every week, you're going to step away from what you can do. You're going to do nothing. Could you imagine having one day a week, church, where you did nothing except enjoy your family or enjoy your neighbor or enjoy church? I mean, how many times we come to church and we start always, you know, man, by 11:30, we're like, man, is he done yet? Because I got stuff to do. Guilty. Sometimes I'm like, man, am I done yet? Because I got stuff to do. Right, church? But it's this pressure we're in our culture to go faster and faster and faster and work harder and harder and harder, 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day, you know? And it's the pressure is, in a sense, I'm worried that if I slow down, it's going to fall apart. All right, this same guy wrote this book. He says, he was talking to a friend of his. I'm done right here. He's talking to a friend of his who was a psychologist, and this guy's a psychologist for CEOs, right? Guys that are making millions of dollars, movie stars, really really successful people in our culture, right? And he says, why won't these people slow down? This is this author of this book and his psychologist friend. He says the guy just starts laughing at me, and he says, you don't get it. So Peter, this author, says to Bob, as the psychologist, says, Bob, what don't I get? I don't understand. What are you saying? He says, look it, these people think that if they slow down, some of them actually think that they're gonna die, like physically will die. Right? How many people work 100 hours a week, and then they retire? They hit 62 and they retire, and they're dead a year later. Because their brain got wired into working 100 hours a week, right? And that's just life, and it's just shock, and their system can't handle it. Can I get amen on that? It's like God is saying, slow down. Man, slow down. And am I making sense, church, right? And this is what he says. He says, so some of them are afraid they're literally going to die. Some of them are afraid because they've built their entire identity is built around how much money they make and what kind of car they drive and what kind of house they live in and their success and their position in this company, that if you make them step away from that one day a week and they have to look it in the mirror and take all of those identifiers away, they're going to be afraid of who they're actually looking at because they don't even know who they are anymore. Hey, hi, my name's Mark. Oh, really, Mark, what do you do? Yeah, I'm a pastor. I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm a teacher. I'm a this, I'm a that. No, that's what you do to make some money. That's not who you are. Come on, church. Splitting hairs, man, but it ain't splitting hairs. It's powerful, man. Look, you know who I am? I'm a father, and I'm a husband. Obviously, I'm a son of God. That's the big one, right, church? Right? I'm a son of God. But, right, who am I? What matters to me, right? If I didn't have to make no money, I wouldn't be a pastor or teacher or whatever. You understand what I'm saying, church? Don't take it out of context, right? If I did not have to make money, would you be a lawyer? Right? If you didn't have to make money, would you be a painter? If you could figure out how to make money without painting, would you do it? For sure, right? If you could make money without running your company, would you do it? For sure, right? We could board playing golf or something because we're terrible at it, but we'd find something to do, right, church? We'd be doing stuff that we actually enjoyed doing, not because we had to do it. But can I say that I feel like God's calling us back to start taking a step back from the stuff that we still feel so pressured to do and start going, man, in 50 years, is any of this stuff going to matter? You know what companies are doing now? I'm sorry. I'm just hang on. Companies are doing now, church. You hit 50 years old, you know what they're going to do? They'll lay you off and hire a couple of college kids, pay them half as much money as they're paying you, so now they got two kids they can enslave, right, and get rid of you before you start costing them a lot of money, right? So the problem with that is that we've some people that actually got some loyalty in their spirit, they're working for this company, they're going to work and they're working hard, but that company don't care about them, so they're just like, oh, you hit 50, have a good one, take care, bro. They don't care. It's all numbers, man, penny pinchers and bean counters at corporate, right? Church, I'm telling you, I think God is starting to mess with us. He's trying to get us to pull back from the world system and being, we're so loyal to the world, but he's saying, look, man, be loyal to the kingdom, right? And church, we've had churches made enough, we've made a mess out of you know, we've done enough dumb stuff that people don't want to be loyal to church anymore either. But we're trying to fix it, amen? We got some churches rising up that are trying to get it back on track and get it built right. Amen. Where we can be loyal to the church and the church can be loyal to the people, right? And we can build the thing right. We can have authentic relationship. We can really be a body that functions together and flows, man. But church, I'm telling you what, worrying about money is one of the biggest poisons that's messing up the church. Right? I said to somebody, look, I'll help anybody, man. We've helped, Pastor L, correct me if I'm wrong, man, hundreds of thousands of dollars have gone out of this church in 28 years. Is that right? Helping folks out, right? But you know what? You know what happens? If folks don't give, we ain't got no money to give folks to help them out. That's right in the Bible, right? If folks got to give, if right? But if I worry about money, I stop giving, guess what? Then it hinders the church's ability to minister to folks that are actually in need. Right? So God's saying, look, man, stop worrying about it. Give and serve and plug in and trust God that he's going to make up the difference. Amen? Father, we just thank you for this time together right now. Lord, I thank you for that prophetic word over the nice family there. Try not to put your name on the recording. Amen. Just a great family, Lord. Thank you for just, I pray that you just help them rise up in faith and grab onto that word and trust you with it, Lord. And I got to tell you, man, I just know that that's going to happen for you, man. I know it. That God's going to blow, you guys are just going to look and you're going to just weep at the goodness of God. Amen. You receive that? Do it. And so, Father, I just want to pray just a blessing over everyone else here, the folks that are on vacation, folks that are out for another reason today, Lord. Lord, that we'd start living this kingdom economy, God. In Jesus' name, we will stop worrying, God. Let us take care. If anything we've got our hands on today, church, I want you to do something with me. If you feel like you're holding on to something, right, in your life, like you're grabbing onto it, saying, man, I've got to fix this. Amen. If you're there, just raise your hand up right now. Amen. I'm raising my hand up. Amen. If you feel like there's something that you're just grabbing onto and thinking, I'm trying to work this out and God's got to, right? It's money, relationships, career, a health issue, whatever it might be, right? If you feel like there's something that's trying to get in your spirit and make you anxious and make you worried, I just want you to raise your hand right now because we're going to release it by faith to the Lord. Amen. Father, we just come right now, Lord. In Paul's writings, he says to cast all of your cares upon the Lord, because he cares for you. Father, we release these burdens to you right now in Jesus' name. Church, I just want you to, with your hand, make a fist, right, like you're holding on to something real tight, and then just release it and just tell God in your heart, say, I'm releasing this to you, Lord, right now. I'm not letting go of it because it don't matter. It does matter. That's why I'm hanging on to it. It matters in my heart. It matters in my life. It's important to me. But Lord, I'm trusting you as my Abba, that you are perfect and you are unlimited. You don't sleep or slumber. You don't take your eyes off of that thing for one moment, Lord. You see it all the time. You see my kids. You see my spouse. You see my parents. You see my bank accounts. You see my career. You see my health. You see everything that concerns me, Father. And you are good, and you are going to take care of it. So, Father, I thank you that as I'm releasing this to you this morning, Lord, that I'm going to start listening better. Because tomorrow, you know it, I'm going to want to pick it up again. Bless you. But Lord, that tomorrow when that thing comes and says, hey, look at this. Lord, that I'm going to say, you know what, I'm releasing that. And I'm going to listen for God to give me wisdom as to how to manage that thing. Not hang on to it, but manage it. So Lord, we thank you that you are so awesome. Let us, Lord, I know that we're going to see some amazing things happen as we start letting go and start really trusting you with these issues in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. See you Wednesday night for prayer. I'd encourage you, if you've got a little bit of time on Wednesday night, our prayer meetings are good, man. We have a good time going after the Holy Ghost. And who knows what will happen. We get people come visit, and we end up laying hands on them and prophesying over them. So otherwise, guys, awesome. Have an awesome week. We'll see you on Sunday. And be blessed. Happy Labor Day. We don't see you.